said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French. I said, bonjour, mara. Then she says, I pass it. And I said, na boule. No matter where I go, go. You know I love her, mom. She said, hola, como esta? She said, konnichiwa. She said, pardon my French.
All right, that's a shifting dynamic with one of our teams here in Colorado. Even since we were on the air together on Monday. And talking about the Denver Nuggets, I'm talking about the title odds. Man, it has been hysterically fun to watch the odds makers kind of catch up with where we have been and just how bullish we've been on this basketball team. And Phil, 10 days ago, the Denver Nuggets title odds was plus 450. And I know that this world is still new to a lot of people, and plus 450 means if you bet $100 on the Nuggets to win the title and they went and won the championship, you'd win $100 back plus $450.
That sounds good.
Yeah, a lot better than plus 300. That's what it is today. That same $100 that would have net you $450 a week ago now nets you only $300. And, man, it's not changing anytime. It's barreling down that road. And like I said, the odds-making experts are starting to figure out what we've already known for quite a while.
Yeah, they started to get their heads out their butts and understand and just look at what greatness is at this point, right? Jokic is sitting there, the greatest basketballer to play this game right now. And you got Jamal Murray heating up, MPJ. So you see why the odds are starting to swing in the Denver Nuggets directions as, you know, would you consider lower because you would get more if at 450 than it would be at 330.
Yeah, they're becoming just more of a favorite, more of an odds-on favorite, less of a long shot. And they were never a long shot, but dude, even 5 weeks ago, they're like plus 600, and then that moves to plus 450, and then on Monday it was plus 400, and now it's plus 300. It keeps on. What the odds makers are saying is they see a collision course in the NBA Finals between the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets.
See, that's what they want. See, I'm still not on that Boston Celtics train, Zach. I know a lot of people want to see that matchup in the Finals, but the Celtics are going to have to do some work now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I truly feel like the East, you know, Eastern Division is not as tough as, you know,
no,
the Western.
No, it's not.
Western Conference, so... Hey, then more power to Celtics. All I know is as long as we're there, that's all that matters.
And you still have, and you're telling me off the air, you still have people that are just, they are not totally into the Denver Nuggets being the best team in basketball.
Every time you have the Boston Celtics on TV, they're talking about how they're the best team in the NBA. Like, come on now. Stop disrespecting the Denver Nuggets. Right? I don't know why you guys hate them so much.
And it was Reggie Miller, right? Who you're hearing saying that?
It was like Reggie Miller saying it. It was like, come on, Reggie. I like you. You've done a lot of great stuff before I was born. but come on, why you gotta diss us like that?
Well, you know what? I think he might have just been a prisoner of the moment doing a Celtics game.
Yeah.
The Celtics do have the best regular season record. But the fact is, Nuggets beat him in Boston, beat him in Denver. Look at Denver's resume. I know Boston's great. All right. They're a great regular season team. Dude, they've lost 14 total times this year. They're 52 wins.
Woo-wee! That's crazy.
52-12 is pretty fantastic. It is. But look at the Nuggets resume. Like, they swept the Celtics. The Heat were just in the finals. They swept the Heat. They swept the Lakers. They swept the Warriors. Like, this is going to be really fun this next month. And that's really all we have left. What is it, March 15th?
It's coming now.
It's March 15th. A month from now, a month from today, the NBA season is over. And that's how close we are from this thing really. From the Nuggets are about 3 months away from being the answer to a trivia question of like a one-off champion, like who beat the Miami Heat? This is 10 years from now. Who beat the Miami Heat in 5 games to win their first ever championship? The answer, the Denver Nuggets. They could go to like their back-to-back. And you go back-to-back, you're clumped alongside with Kobe and Powell's Lakers.
Yeah.
The Miami Heat. Even the Spurs, as many titles as they won, they never went back-to-back. They'd be side-by-side with the Bad Boy Pistons. trying to think who else went back-to-back but didn't three-peat, because I don't want to vault them into a three-peat conversation just quite yet. But
man, we're talking about the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, man.
We're talking about the Denver Nuggets. Our Denver Nuggets going back-to-back, and it's a big possibility. Okay, all the haters are going to hate. Shout out to Blake. Blake likes to say that. Haters are going to hate.
Oh, our guy behind the scenes for promotions behind the scenes. Yes, yes.
He always likes going at Drew.
Yes, he does.
But man, we have a great opportunity right in front of us and a great opportunity to get that number one seed.
Yeah.
You know, as much as Malone has played it off, his actions have speak louder than his words. And I know he wants that number one seed. I want that number one seed. Yep. I'm like you, Zach. I want it all.
Yep.
MVP, number one seed, NBA Finals, MVP for Jokic, championship. I want it all.
Yep. And guess what? I legitimately think it's coming. They're going to finish with the number one seed. I think Jokic is going to be a damn near unanimous MVP. Now, I don't know if he'll get it. I don't know if he'll get it.
Yeah.
By the way, my guy, and I love him, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
Point hunting the other night.
Did you
guys see that? Doing a little stat padding the other night. Look, I think by the time we get to the end of this road, because people, the voters see that stuff too, right? I think by the time we get to the end of this road, Denver has the number one seed. Jokic wins the MVP. Denver wins the championship. Jokic's finals MVP, and this is going to go down as one of the great two-year stretches in the history of NBA basketball, because don't forget, they were the number one seed a year ago.
Yeah.
So if they go back-to-back number one seeds, back-to-back championships, Jokic goes back-to-back finals MVP, this gets put alongside, and we've talked about the rare history he can make if he wins a third MVP and all that stuff.
Though, Zach, they're like that little fly that's like flying around you that you're trying to swat. And I didn't know that they were as good as they are with their record, right? We're still battling with them because they swept us.
Yep.
Is that one of those sneaky teams in the playoffs that you can't overlook? That's like, if you let them hang around, they're young. Okay, they're like that baby bull that gets that confidence.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good analogy. They are that baby bull who in 2 years may be full grown and ready to try to fight Mufasa, like for King of the Plains, and they're just not there yet.
Okay.
And I respect the hell out of them. They're my second favorite team in the NBA to watch.
Exciting.
I love that combination of players. I think they're well coached. I love their roster. But they do not have the scars. They do not have the keys and the codes.
Yeah.
The Nuggets have the keys and the codes. The Nuggets have the stars. The Nuggets have the champion scars. The Nuggets have the championship equity. So I think if those two teams ever met in a series, it would actually be a big-time wake-up to that young bull. I do. I believe it would be a big-time wake-up.
I'm just looking, man. You always want to look at what's in front of you with the Timberwolves missing out on Anthony Towns at this point. That's a big blow, man.
It's a huge deal.
And, you know, somebody like OKC sees that, and it's like, this is an opportunity for us.
Yep.
Right? You know, we have opportunity today. If we can get past the juggernaut Denver Nuggets, we're sitting here in a great place, which they would play it probably at the end there if that was the case.
Yes.
So,
yeah, man, it's exciting. I respect the hell out of OKC. Just not worried about them. Two years from now, yeah. I mean, you know, we'll see what they look like because they may be a big trade away next year.
Okay.
They have so many picks.
Yeah.
There's so many picks, first round picks, and they could do like a big shakeup. And you know, we'll see what that looks like, but they are they're the young pup, and so we'll see what it looks like. But MPJ playing great. I mean, really, we've gone back and forth on MPJ, and he deserves a lot of criticism that was, you know, put his way. He had a 5-6 week stretch that was offensively a lot of nights hard to watch. But now you look, this dude has scored 19 or more points in 6 of the last 7 games. He scored 25 or more in 4 of the last 10.
He's heating up.
He really is, man. He's a big confidence guy, too. So it's like kind of compounding here on itself. He just looks like a confident player.
You know what was good to see was, I want to say the Utah Jazz, and Jamal Murray dishing him the ball for 3, right? It was kind of towards the end of the game that actually helped seal it. And it's like you don't see that a lot from Jamal. Passing it to someone like MPJ and seeing that right there, it shows a lot of character. It shows a lot of like trust in saying, you're still my guy. And like, let's build a relationship. Let's build this trust because we're going to need each other.
Yeah, there's been times at the backstretch of games where MPJ can kind of get left out of that basketball flow and rhythm. But we love to see it. The bench coming along, too. Absolutely love to see it.
Love it.
And they have a game tonight in Austin, Texas, against San Antonio. And then a big one on national TV Sunday afternoon on ABC against the Dallas Mavericks. Cannot wait for that. All right, your boy, Deion Sanders, appearing everywhere, promoting this book. And he did use a phrase that caught my attention. I'll tell you what it is and why coming up next.
So many ways to love you.
Happy Friday to you. You survived the snowstorm, and now you're rolling into the weekend. Phil, great job.
Oh, man, I needed it. I needed it. I was out there crawling on my hands and knees. Car broke down.
Stop.
Gotta get the sled dogs out. Yeah.
The Mustang. They're doing the Iditarod, I think, right now. Or
Iditarod.
It might have been finished up. You see, the one guy got in trouble. Swear to God. Do you see this?
I didn't see it. The one guy
got in trouble at the Iditarod. He's got the dogs going. He killed a moose, but he didn't gut it properly.
Oh.
And there's like this rule. If you kill that moose, you gotta gut it properly. And he didn't, and like left it on the trail, and they like docked him like 10 hours or something, because it's all timed.
Yeah.
They go from like town to town. I'm like, there is a sporting event in the year of our Lord 2024 where you could lose points because you didn't murder the moose the right way. And it's
that's wild.
A different world down there.
Wild.
Or up there, or wherever that is. All right, your guy Deion Sanders.
Deion.
Appearing on late night TV. He's on he was on Mad Dog Radio today. He is promoting this book called Elevate and Dominate, 21 Ways to Win on and Off the Field. What do you think about Deion writing a book here?
You know what? I like it, Zach. I like it. Deion is interesting. He might be one of the most interesting men in the world, right? From his story, as he was playing NFL football and was in MLB baseball. He was running a 40 with a suit on. Like, this man did everything. You know, he had Soul Glow Jerry Curl. He had the Jerry Curl juice everywhere.
Yeah, man.
Like,
he's a legend. He really is.
You know, he has a story to tell, you know, and why not? Why not tell your story? People will be interested in knowing about what Coach Prime and what Prime, and you know, was and what he's done.
All right. Well, he's out and about promoting his book. He was on Jimmy Fallon last night, it was, and he talked about his boys and ultimately Shador potentially being number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
Oh, my God, I don't have a bad day. Like, every day is this great day. I'm coaching my kids, darn it.
You guys, your kids are there.
Yeah.
Shador's
the quarterback, Shiloh's the safety, and Junior's doing all the social media. He's around here somewhere filming.
Yeah, I saw him earlier around, yeah. But Shador, the rumor is that he might be the first draft pick.
Well, he should.
Yeah.
Why would they be rumors?
Yeah. He should.
He should.
Are you going to get emotional? Because is this the last year you're going to teach?
This is our last hurrah, man. Like, we're coming down the home stretch.
Your kids aren't going to be there.
I've coached them ever since they've been babies, so it's going to be a great year, but it's going to be a tough year emotionally because, you know, this is it.
Yeah, you're a dad. You love your kids.
Yeah, but I got to send them off so they can make a lot of money and they can come and take care of dad.
That's classic Prime at the end there, obviously. But I have believed for, I don't know, as long as we've been talking about it here, you and I, you know, 6-7 months, whatever it's been, that this is Prime's last year. And I don't, when I say that, I don't think it's like some big negative thing. I really don't. I think Prime has been coaching his kids. Like he says, it's going back to 2012 where he created his own team, Prime Prep. Then he moves to AAA. This is all out of Texas, Trinity Christian, then the Jackson State, then the Colorado. And then when he's using phrases like the last hurrah, end of the road, this is it. Again, not a negative thing. I just think this is it. And I'm getting, at least for me and the story, because this has been a great story for us to cover. And I didn't believe it was happening when it was happening. I still can't believe Deion Sanders is the coach at CU. So I'm going to enjoy it for this last year. And if he does come back, great. But my expectation is, quote, this is it.
Yeah. See, I'm getting the feeling that this is not it for him. I still see him coming back for at least one more year by him saying, you know, his sons are going to go off, make their money. all right, I think that he's sitting here with a bunch of these young men that decided to come here because of him. He's building something special here. And if they do have some success this year with, some of the kids coming back, he's going to want to see that through. And he's a father figure to a lot of those young men.
Sure.
And so with that being said, why would you want to just up and leave because your kids are gone? It makes you look bad. It makes you look like you weren't authentically here because you had an opportunity because you are the coach for the Colorado Buffaloes. It's more like you use this opportunity for your kids. Mm. And I don't think that he wants to go down and look like that. So I think he's going to be here for at least one more year to see it through, especially if they have a winning season.
So 3 years total.
3 years, at least three years.
At least. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I hope they win some games and he gets addicted to winning as a head coach.
Ooh.
That would be my hope.
And he's going to have to win. Well, I'm expecting him to win 10 games.
You need to reconfigure those expectations.
But 8 games, I feel like he needs to win.
Okay.
8 games is what he needs to win.
Okay. Man, I think that would be a raging success. That means they would double their win total.
Yeah.
So, I think this has been a good story. I think it's been good for the school. You see the story about the applicants, how much they're up.
Yes, like 68,000 students want to come from all over across the world to Boulder.
Yeah, there's the out-of-state applicants. It's just been a massive spike. And guess what? That's good for the school. That's good for the university because you could be more choosy with what students you pick. It raises the entire level of the institution. I don't know if someone like you could even get in there with that amount of...
They would have just opened the doors for me. That's why Coach Prime is there. People like me. Come on in. You know what? I'm one of the reasons why all the students wants to come to the school.
Is that right? I think it's good. I think it's good. Even if he leaves after this year, I'm not. You know, I had a conversation with a former offensive lineman, Jeff Schwartz, for the Chiefs and the Giants. And
conversation.
He played at Oregon. Yeah, we were going back and forth.
That's why you had that black eye.
He is a big boy. He is, and he's a good dude. But he was like, that program's going to be irrelevant when he leaves, and I'm like, Jeff. Jeff, they were irrelevant in the years leading up. And you guys had like an incredible run 2016, like bunch of NFL players. You guys went to the championship game. But in leading up to the 2023 season, Colorado football was in the blind spot of not just sports fans, but college football fans. And that's what I was telling Jeff. Like, Jeff, they were 1-11 against the spread. Or they're 1-11 record, but they're 2-10 against the spread. They got blown out every week. They had nothing but upside to gain.
That's all you could do is go up. All you can do is look up at the sky and try to climb yourself out of a hole, and that's kind of what they're doing. Oh, Jeff's not lucky I wasn't there. Then he would have realized, that's why they call him Pitbull. Does Jeff even have hair anymore?
There's some hanging on.
Oh, he wouldn't have no more after that.
Dude, he would power slam you through a table.
Well, first he has to catch me.
That's true.
You can next time put a cat on. Anytime Zach talks, it's more like a meow.
Wow. All right. Is tomorrow night the final statement game in an MVP race? That's where we'll head coming up next. Going down for it. It's tomorrow night, the final statement game in an MVP race. Tomorrow night, really looking forward to this. It's the Colorado Avalanche traveling to Edmonton, playing the Oilers.
Uh-oh.
We know what comes with this. I mean, first of all, Edmonton's just a fantastic team.
Solid team.
Yep, there's no doubt. I'm sure a lot of fans would make the argument that they have the best, 1-2 punch in the NHL with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And I'm sure, a lot of fans may agree with that. But when it comes to Connor McDavid, he's one of the four MVP favorites. We know McKinnon is right there in the mix leading the charge. I am fascinated. What takes place tomorrow night, and if the Avs can keep it going against another team that's playing really well as well.
the Avs can keep it going on the road, Zach. They're 2-0 right now on the road. All right, and can they go 3-0 after this game against a really, really tough competitive team? To me, it's the battle of the two, okay? McKinnon and...
Cale Makar?
No. McKinnon and
McDavid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the battles right there.
Yeah.
This is for the Hart Trophy. Both of them are neck and neck, but this time, Nathan McKinnon has his dogs with him. It's not just him.
Right.
And I think that's what we've been saying before. That's what he's been missing, where it's like everything has been all on his plate. But now he can kind of breathe, relax. And you said it before, how he sounds. He sounds excited. He sounds a little bit less stressed out.
Yeah.
Because of people like Mittelstadt and his boy Val being back.
Yep, Sean Walker. Yep.
You know, and so you have all these players that are doing their part. Some more weapons added to it. Now Nathan McKinnon can just play free. And we're going to see some magic probably this game.
Well, McKinnon is the legitimate favorite to win the Hart Trophy. Austin Matthews and Nikita Kucherov have shifted to the back. I mean, you look at it truly is a head-to-head of the two odds-on favorites. It's McKinnon, and depending, these odds can be a little bit different depending on where you look. But McKinnon is minus 170. He is in minus money, as is Nikola Jokic, to win MVP. So we have two guys in this town, and we've been talking about this for months, but to see it this close to the end of the season with about, I don't know, a month out for each approximately, McKinnon minus 170, Connor McDavid behind him at plus 350, and Kucherov and Austin Matthews are plus 600 and plus 650. So this has turned into a two-horse race here. There is time. Things can shift, of course. But tomorrow night, there's just a little bit more on the scale because it's a head-to-head, and I know, you know, all of Canada is going to be watching this. Is this the big hockey night in Canada game?
I think it is. Yeah, I know usually they start at like 5 o'clock, but I think I saw that it was actually going to be the 8 o'clock game tomorrow night, and it's going to be the big hockey night in Canada, the main broadcast.
Explain that to me.
So, for those who don't know, like hockey night in Canada is kind of like Monday night football in the United States. It's the game of the week for hockey. Everybody gets amped up about it. It usually features one of the prominent Canadian teams, whether it be the Maple Leafs, the Oilers, the Canadians, when they're good. It usually features one of those teams. So it's just, I would compare it to like a Monday night football experience.
All right.
What is your thoughts? I like that analogy of like a Monday night football, all eyes on this. And it certainly has a star power to back it up. Tomorrow night, who would you rather see in goal?
Anonin. Truly.
Why?
I think that he deserves to have that opportunity to go against a tough team. See what he can be, you know, what he can come about with it. He's doing a great job.
He's doing a really, really good job.
Honestly, he's probably doing better than Georgiev at times. But we need to see him when he's against a tougher opponent. Anonin needs to be in goal today, in between the pipes. I want to see that matchup. I want to see that battle and see if he comes out on top.
I like it. Last time he played was on Tuesday against Calgary. Gave up only two. And the time before that was that shutout against the Blackhawks. So the fact that here's my takeaway from this brief little segment of our conversation. The fact that you can reasonably suggest that right now in mid-March, we were not having that conversation 5 weeks ago, right? So I think that's my takeaway, that whether he starts tomorrow night or it's Georgie, however Bednar wants to do it, the fact that you can suggest that and it be reasonable shows you how far this conversation has come in the last month or so. So I think the Avs are going to go in there and win. And
I do too.
You talked about McKinnon having his dogs with him. That's the one thing about Edmonton. Even through the years, they do not have the depth. They're kind of a top heavy nature. Now they have two of the best, I don't know, what you'd say, 5-7 players in the league, 10.
Yeah, two of the best seven, probably, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. But guess what? So are the Avs.
So that's
where it boils down to.
Plus the depth. And then you have the newcomers who have just, like, you're talking about perfect puzzle pieces. It's really exciting. I mean, and the Avs, man, the Avs are a bona fide, especially post trade deadline, they are a bona fide cup contender.
Well, speaking of depth, Drew, everybody's coming back today, right? Tomorrow, Lekkonen.
Yeah, so it looks like, so they had a practice up in Edmonton. Zach Parise, Arturi Lekkonen, and Jonathan Drouin, who did not play against Vancouver the other night, All three of those guys skated. Looks like Lekkonen should be for sure back tomorrow night. He was out with an illness. I know Parise, I think, was a lower body injury for him. Jonathan Drouin, I think, was also a lower body injury. So it looks like both of those, or all three of those guys, are probably going to be in the lineup, which is definitely a good sign. You want to go into this matchup and have all your, you know, all your dogs, as you say. But getting the question becomes, all right, you get Lekkonen back. What do you do? Do you put him back on the top line,
right,
or do you keep Val there? Because that top line, since Val's gotten on there, has been unbelievably dominant.
Dude, how about Val's return? I had been like, hey, this might take 8, 10, 12 games. And you just mentioned Lekkonen. Like, it took Lekkonen a while to come back after the neck injury. He missed like 30 games or whatever it was, maybe even 35. And I remember Tay saying, dude, it's going to take weeks. So I was like kind of guarded with my expectations for Val. This has been an add water and stir.
Yeah. I mean, is Val we're talking about.
Yeah.
My man's built like a brick house.
He
6'4".
Dude.
Got the army guns on him. You know, I'm not surprised, because he didn't come back from an injury.
Yeah.
He came back from, like you said, rehab, which is another injury, because you have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But he's hungry. He wants to prove to his teammates that he is here for the long haul, the long run. He's proven it. He's helping us out, helping his teammates out. My man has scored 3 goals in 3 games, even one with his face.
Yeah, and 2 of them are overtime winners.
Yeah.
Against Minnesota on Friday, and then so 1 week ago, and then in the middle of the week against Vancouver. It's just incredible. Another comeback. It's this starting to feel the special vibes.
Yeah.
Starting to feel the special vibes. And if you look at the Stanley Cup odds, they're right there. They're right there, about plus 800, depending on where you look. Right there with the best teams in the league. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Cannot wait for that one. As we shift gears here, why has it been such a quiet week on the quarterback front for the Denver Broncos? And how complicated is this about to get? That's where we'll go coming up next.
This is how we do it.
You're listening to The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It's Friday night, and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and
Happy Friday! Oh, we're rolling downhill in a sled. The snow around us.
You may get stuck. The snow's melting pretty fast out there.
It is melting really fast. I think this weekend, it might be the first ever sledding experience for my kids.
You're going to go?
We've never done, like, sledding.
We haven't either.
And so I think we have a couple nice hills by our house, so that may be on the docket.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, man. I was gone for a couple days, and so happy to be back.
The listeners know.
So happy to
be
back.
The listeners know. They missed you.
Well, dude, I missed you. I missed doing the show.
I did too, man.
You know, and it's one of these things where I wanted to go to this conference, but then, you know, there's some FOMO of, like, you know, and I'm sure Matt did a great job filling in.
Yeah, Matt did a great job.
But it's like, damn, like, you know, I'm not doing my show. My show's on the air. I'm not doing it with my guy. So great to be back. But, dude, my kids.
Yes.
Walking in the door. I was just gone 3 days. Walking
three
in the
days
door.
Is like 3 months.
Yes. Yes. And I've shared with you off the air, and I'll say it now. Like when I was growing up, my dad was in the Navy. My dad went on deployment. So, like, imagine, like, I'm trying to imagine myself saying goodbye to my kids, like, guys, I'll see you in September.
Yeah, like 6 like, months.
What? I could never, ever, 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 ever. And I know servicemen have jobs and stuff like that, and I hope it's not hitting anyone's ears the wrong way. But I was gone for 3 days. It's like, dude, I cannot wait to go home and have these kids crawl on me and do basketball and sledding and all this stuff. But it's good to be back. And, Phil, to be real, I thought I was going to come back and have, like, so much catching up on Broncos news.
Ooh-wee.
You and I did the show on Monday, and I'm like, by the time you guys come in here tomorrow, there's going to be a new quarterback, and here we are Friday, and not only is there no new quarterback in the fold, it feels like every available quarterback that would fit that bill has already been gobbled up.
Yeah, Zach, you bet, you took away the good juju, man, because when you came back, it's like where we left off. There is no quarterback in the building other than, you know, Steady, Sparky. And it's like, what are we doing, man? You know, we're getting rid of people. We have breaking news. Adam Trautman is back.
Yeah, right? You That's know? The news.
How did he get? I don't know.
And I'm not saying he's a bad player. I mean, but he's honestly, and I'm just going to say it the way it is. Not trying to be disrespectful. He's just a guy. In terms of NFL, he is just a guy.
You need just guys on a football team,
sure.
Right? You need those guys that can come in, contribute when asked for, do the dirty work, block and stuff. But yeah, I don't know why the Denver Broncos decided to, you know, expand his contract and, you know, give him more money.
It's 2 years, $7.5 million. That's what trips me up. It's not bringing back Adam Trautman. It's 2 years, $7.5 million.
Extended him.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, I don't know. They did bring back the fullback. Burton.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Lil Jordan Humphrey. So we're building a roster, y'all.
Like,
we're building it.
Think about the words you're saying and the names you're saying. Again, no disrespect to these guys. Like, we know them because they play in Denver. No one else knows these guys. They're not plus players. They're not building blocks. They're not bricks to build this foundation.
No, a lot of them are going to be camp bodies. Let's be real. They're camp bodies, and if they do well enough, they'll get on the roster. They'll be on a practice squad. But you need them. You know, you need them for special teams. You need them for different situations. But, yeah, I don't know, Zach. We didn't have a lot. We had a controversy thing with the kicker, Will Lutz.
Yeah.
He was signing somewhere else.
I was here for that. That was Monday.
Oh, you were?
Yes. He was going to sign with the Jags. And then he came back. So the guys who have gotten paid so far.
Miss anything.
Will Lutz and Adam Trautman. I do wonder, though, serious question. Like, we have been under the assumption. It's not just us.
Yeah.
It's like Broncos country. People who cover the team, guys like Kliss and Troy, have come on here like, yeah, they're gonna pick a quarterback up in free agency on the cheaper side.
Yeah.
And then they'll draft a guy, and it'll be Stidham, a free agent veteran, and a draft pick. And now it's like, okay, the free agent quarterback is gone, and we're going to talk about the draft pick here just in a couple minutes.
Your boy Joe got picked up. Joe Flacco.
Yes. Everyone's got picked
up. He's already with the Colts, so who is out there for us?
Jimmy G 2 hours ago got Jimmy gobbled G. up by the Rams. I just don't know. I don't know what the plan is, but my question is, and it borders on fear, is – Did they have a plan that didn't go according, and here they're just sort of like not free falling, but sort of freestyling on how they're going to approach whatever's next? Because nothing feels solid right now. It doesn't feel like the Broncos are, it feels like they're building a house on sand. I don't know what the foundation is.
Yeah.
I don't know who the leaders are. I don't know who the face of the team is. And you don't have a lot of draft picks to cure that fear or question. I just have no idea what we're in store for here.
Well, first off, the leader and the face of the franchise is Sean Payton. We're going college football style right now.
Yeah.
Right? He's trying to build that foundation back up. And on top of that, it's like, I think that Sean Payton thought that the quarterbacks were going to be sitting around a little longer than what they were. Because all of them got picked up.
Yep.
All of them got picked up. And I think because the cap went up, they had more money to give players. Like, the running backs got paid a lot of money this year.
Yep.
And the Denver Broncos are sitting here in a situation where, did they truly stub their toe? It may be looking like that. Because you still wanted to bring somebody in to compete with Stidham. You want to push him to the best of his ability. All right? Put some stress on him to see if this is our quarterback. You still want to win games.
Yes.
You know, or do you, if you're in Sean's case?
See, this is, I don't like this.
I don't like it either.
Because I'm hearing that of like, there is this sentiment that is growing, and I totally understand why it's growing, because we don't have enough tangible things to hold on to that would lead us to believe that the Broncos could be a competitor. But what I don't like of the sentiment that's growing is, well, the Broncos are just going to suck. This is just, this, you know, the Broncos are just going to be bad. It's about 2025 and 2025. I heard 2026 earlier from our guy Mike Kliss, and we love Mike, and he didn't sound crazy saying it, but I'm like, this is not the Philadelphia Sixers trust the process tank job in the NBA. This is the NFL, and my biggest problem with it, or among the biggest problems, is that when Sean Payton inherited the Broncos and the situation with Russell Wilson, he thought they could win. He said as much. I'm going to be pissed off if this isn't a playoff team.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out to be that. The Russ and Sean experiment blew up in their face like a meth lab. And It's like, well, you don't get a free pass to suck and lose when you're moving on from Russ gave you a better chance to win. That's what we have been sold here, and I don't want to get too far distracted from that. Sean Payton is moving on from Russell Wilson because he believes not having Russ in the fold and taking that dead cap, the largest in NFL history, gives you a better chance to win. So if it gives you a better chance to win, we just all can't be in agreement that the Broncos are going to suck for years to come when going this route gives you a better chance to win. You don't get to have it both ways.
Hey, Sean's smart. Sean's smart because that's exactly what he's doing. What he's doing is, I got rid of Russ. All right, I have to bring in a quarterback. It's already going to give me more time because everybody knows sometimes it takes a little while for a rookie quarterback to come around. I'm gutting the whole entire house out, so I have nobody here. It gives me more time because now everybody's saying, oh, he's building something. We got to be patient with him. We have to be patient with him because of what they've seen over there with the Saints, where he built that, and he built that pretty fast.
He did.
And I think that Sean believes he can build it as fast as he did with the Saints. The only issue with that is, you had a Drew Brees.
Right.
We don't have a Drew Brees here. We don't even know who that quarterback's going to be. We don't even know if, are you bringing in another bridge quarterback to compete with, you know, Stedham? Do you truly believe that Stedham is that guy that can bring us to the promised land to playoffs? No. You know, and that's...
But you're saying no. It might be yes for Sean, though. That's the scary part.
Or is Sean saying this is our best opportunity to try to win games but also lose at the same time? Because it's like, if I don't really want to win, and I hate to even say this, and Sean being Sean, I don't think this is true because Sean wants to win for his legacy, but also he knows that it's about building too, and I can try to find ways to win games but not really win them because I'm not putting everybody in the best situation. I got Stidham as our first string quarterback. But we're not going to win like that.
Well, I...
And you think Sean maybe thinks that?
Yes.
That's a crazy thing if that's the case.
Yeah, no, and because I'm trying to make sense of this week. Why was no quarterback added?
Why was nobody added?
Yeah, pretty much. No,
because
one.
George
yeah.
Payton's tied up. He's in the closet right now tied up. George is the one that likes to take a little bit more risk, and I thought Sean was going to be more the risky one. But Sean wants to go the rebuild way and give himself ways out by not putting anybody on the roster.
Yeah,
it's like the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but Phil, this fan base is not going to have the patience that maybe it even thinks it will have right now. Because it's so easy to say on March 15th that, well, yeah, just you know, the Broncos aren't going to be good this year, and it's about 2025 or 2026. When we get to the fall, when we get to training camp, when the games kick off, we are not going to be coming in here reacting to losses going, well, this is all according to Sean Payton's plan. Well, the Broncos are supposed to be bad.
You know what? I said the exact same thing. And you know what? Matt Smith yesterday went on the RamosLaw.com
text line,
yeah. And asked that question, right? Are people happy with Sean Payton? What grade would you give him? What would you rank him? And people were giving 8 and 9. Some of our listeners were getting 8 and 9 saying because he's rebuilding, right? He's rebuilding this thing and he's doing it the right way. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, it's like, it's not that he wanted to do this. It's because he has no choice but to do this. But a lot of people think it's okay to lose this year. That's what it kind of is telling me. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we need to open it back up, Zach, at some point to ask him again, are they okay? Because a lot of people that said they're okay with this year being one of those seasons where we're losing and we're giving him an 8 or a 9, I want them to come back and ask that same question, us to ask that same question to them after we lose majority of our games and go through a whole year of butt whoopings. Are you still going to give this man that 8 or a 9?
Yeah, it's the NFL is the quickest flip it league.
Mm.
Every single year we have a worst to first. Every single year. Every year we have a worst to first in a division. Every year we have a team that got their head kicked in the previous year go to the playoffs. Houston this past year,
yep.
Jacksonville and the New York Giants the year before that, and the list goes on. And we talked a little bit about this on Monday. Yes, the Broncos are rebuilding, but it's like giving them over the top credit for something that they were required to do.
Mm.
They had to get their cap situation
and no choice
in order. So it's like, yeah, should you he finally sold that Jaguar who he was spending outside of his means. Yeah, but he sold it because the family was going to get evicted from the house. He had to do that. And so I think we are, to a certain degree, getting a little bit carried away with giving the Broncos this ultimate benefit of the doubt on this rebuild. And I think we're definitely going to get carried away with just, hey, it's okay that the Broncos are bad, you know, for at least the next year or two. And I'm just trying to think about what Mr. Pat Boland would think about what's been going on here. Of like, yeah, no, Mr. B, yeah, no, the Broncos are actually supposed to be bad next year. Like, what?
Yeah, that's not the standard. And when you sit there and you're looking at the Denver Nuggets, the Colorado Avalanche, and everybody holds them to a higher standard, and they can lose one or two games, and it looks like it's the end of the world, and we're sitting here saying it's okay for the Denver Broncos to lose this year, like, it's not okay. And if somebody's pumping that in somebody's head, that's not okay either. Sean has this confidence, whether it's real confidence or fake confidence to him, that makes everybody feel like we're in good hands, right? When he goes to the podium talking about the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Sean, where is it at?
Yeah.
Where is it at? You didn't go and get that quarterback to in the free agency to battle with Stidham. You wanted Sam Darnold. Too much money. All right, for the draft. People are moving up to get the guy that you love.
And that's the next layer of this that could prove to be very problematic. And it started this morning, and it started in Minnesota. And I want to talk about that.